Let's stand together this morning as we read God's Word. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Give preference to one another in honor. Not lagging behind in diligence. Fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope. Persevering in tribulation. Devoted to prayer. Contributing to the needs of the saints, practicing hospitality. You may be seated. Let's pray. Lord, we give you thanks this morning for your grace and for your goodness. Lord, thank you that we were able to spend time singing songs and Lord, even if the songs we sang did not completely capture our hearts, yet, Lord, many times in the songs that we sing, if we're honest, we have to confess the reality of the song is not the reality of my heart. But it creates a longing, and it creates a praying for that reality, that you would be the one that we love, that my heart beats for you alone. And Lord, we thank you for the reminder of the gospel this morning through the communion table that when my heart beats for other things, and when we come in repentance, we see that there is the gospel, the good news, that our sins are forgiven, that we have fellowship with you through the completed, finished work of Jesus Christ, through His life, through His death, and His resurrection. So Lord, we thank you for your grace, we thank you for your goodness. And now Lord, as we continue in worship, we again come to you and ask that you would help us, that you would give us that mental and spiritual alertness, help us to understand. And then, Lord, help us that we would not be merely hearers of the Word and so deceive ourselves, but that we would be doers of the Word. And that, Lord, that you would grant it by your grace that we would walk in obedience to your Word. So, Lord, we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. The verses that we're going to look at this morning, verse 11, the verse that we're going to look at this morning, comes kind of in the middle of a number of what's been called kind of a rapid fire command. Number of commands that are given, one right after another, and there's no real break in it, at least for a while. And the ones that we have this morning really describe for us, the exhortation describes for us and characterizes how we are to do these things. How we are to serve the Lord. It also points to the end that these things and in how we are to do it with passion and zeal for the Lord ultimately has as its end or its goal the serving of the Lord. But over this whole section, we realize that really you go back to verses 12 and 1, and I've mentioned this before, is that these are kind of both the foundation for these commands and kind of the heading over these commands. As we look at it, we realize that, as Paul says, therefore I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. These commands become part and parcel of the spiritual service of worship. Or as the King James says, I think, our reasonable worship. We realize also that in the obeying of these commands and the desire to obey these commands and to do that which we see set before us comes from having our minds renewed, being transformed through the renewing of our minds. And so as we look at this, we realize that these are not just a list of do's and don'ts for us so that we can somehow feel good about ourselves or that we can feel like I've been able to do these things and so therefore I might I have a right standing with God. But we realize that it is by the mercies of God, it is by the grace of God that we will be able to do that which is pleasing and acceptable to Him as our lives are transformed by the renewing of our minds. And so these again are the effects of a renewed mind and as part of our spiritual service of worship. The command that we're looking at today in verse 11, commands, exhortations, says, not lagging behind in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Now the first two clauses really are saying the same thing, only they're saying one in a negative fashion, the other in a positive fashion. The first one being not lagging behind in diligence. And the opposite of that would be fervent in spirit, serving the Lord with fervor. So let's look at what these say. I've broken them up a little bit here. The first line in your bulletin is, do not lag behind in diligence. That's the New American Standard description. A couple other translations. One, the NIV says, never be lacking in zeal. Not lagging in diligence, the New King James says. And the English Standard Version says, do not be slothful in zeal. So it brings out the idea of what we're not to do. We're not to be lazy. We're not to lag behind. We're not to be slothful in our serving of the Lord, in the things that He's called us to do, whether that is in what precedes it that we've looked at, a love without hypocrisy, abhorring what is evil, clinging to what is good, devoted to one another in brotherly love, give preference to one another in honor, or what comes after it, rejoicing in hope, persevering in tribulation, devoted to prayer. We're not to be slackers spiritually. We're not to be lazy when it comes to spiritual disciplines. We're not to become lazy in our service to the Lord. This idea for zeal or diligence, as it's translated in different ones, has the idea of to be eager to do something with the implication of readiness to expend energy and effort. And that just, again, kind of be the opposite. If you're zealous for something, you're not slothful in it. And especially the idea of expending energy to accomplish it, doing that which is work to get it done. And so we see this set out before us. We're not to be lagging behind in diligence. We're not to be slothful. We're not to be lazy. But we're to be zealous to do what is right, to serve the Lord. And as we look at this, it can also kind of be a test as we look at our own lives through the Scriptures. And we can see that oftentimes there can be those ups and downs in our spiritual life. There can be those times when we see that we are zealous for the Lord, that we are fervent in spirit. And there are other times when it just seems like we're kind of lagging behind in diligence. We are not giving full effort and diligence to serving the Lord. There are a number of things that we can look at. Again, and I'm probably going to overlap a little bit on these two because, again, they're saying the same thing, only one in a negative fashion, the other in a positive fashion. But what Paul is saying here in telling us not to lag behind in diligence is he's saying, work hard. Work hard. Do the work that is necessary in order to serve the Lord in the way that is acceptable and pleasing to Him. Now, that's the part of it right there, isn't it? It's not just serve the Lord, but as we're going to see the positive side, serve Him with fervency, serve Him with passion, with zeal. And part of the work that helps us to do that, part of the things that helps us do that, not to be lacking in diligence, not to be slothful in our spiritual disciplines and our service to the Lord, are putting effort into what it's going to take to serve the Lord effectively and to serve Him in a way that is pleasing and acceptable. And, you know, we can go back to the very heart of when we are not sloth or when we are not fervent in our relationship with the Lord. Oftentimes, if we will do the evaluation, we find that it can be because of, usually the key thing is the lack of time in God's Word. We're not spending time in God's Word. We're not meditating upon the Scriptures. We're not memorizing the Scriptures. And sometimes, even though we might be in the Word, maybe we've gotten to the point where we're just reading just for reading's sake, and we're not really spending the effort, because really we could read the Word and say, okay, I've read this verse, so my devotions are done today and I'm good. But spending time thinking about what we've read, meditating upon the Scripture, thinking hard about these things and their implications for our life. Other things that can be effective in helping us in that spiritual fervor. And really the word that is brought out here and what it means to boil. This be fervent in spirit, it means to boil. It literally, that's what it means. And it points to the emotion or the desire that we have to serve the Lord with passion, with zeal. Again, how can I do that? How can I do that? When so many times it seems that I can become cold and I can become lazy. Well, the first thing is I guess, to acknowledge it. To say, look, I'm really dry in my spiritual life right now. I'm really feel cold in my relationship with the Lord. What can I do? Well, obviously we cry out to the Lord and we ask Him for His grace. We ask Him for His help, that He might again ignite the fire within our hearts to love Him, to serve Him. And that's really behind the command that we see in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 19, when it says, do not quench the Spirit. In other words, I think one of the translations, maybe the NIV, says, do not put out the Spirit's fire, which is a good way to describe not quenching the Spirit, to not extinguish the Spirit. I found myself this last week kind of in this position, and you know, I wish I could just come to this passage of Scripture having a week where I've been very zealous and very passionate and just on fire for the Lord and just ready to preach this and say, you know, this week was a really dry week for me. And one of the things that I found help, though, and I found encouragement, not only as I've been reading, focusing, and meditating upon the cross, reading books that focus upon the cross, and a couple different books that I've been reading, and just to mention to you, because they're kind of more of devotional, and that's really what I've needed is kind of more of a devotional to reading the Scriptures. And one of them is, I can't even think of it now, it's by C.J. Mahaney, it's Living the Cross-Centered Life. And it's good because the chapters are short. And it's a little book, but it's very pointed in focusing upon different aspects of the cross. And in some of the books that I've been reading, you know, the thing that I noticed in a lot of them is their reference to the hymns. And this week, as I was getting ready to pick out the hymns, I opened up the hymn book, and I'm the only one here on most time during the week, so I can sing and not have to worry about anybody hearing me. So I started singing some of the songs, some of the hymns. And you know, it was almost immediately as I began to sing these hymns that I began to just be renewed a bit in my spirit, being reminded about the sacrifice of Christ, the power of the gospel, The one we're going to sing today, and it's no secret for those of you who have been here for a while, is my favorite hymn is Rock of Ages, and I think we sing it every other communion Sunday that we. But it's so powerful, and it's, and I forgot to sing it today, didn't I? We were supposed to sing it before here, weren't we? But the lines of it are so powerful in the proclamation of the gospel through song. And go to verse 2, it says, "Not the labors of my hands can fulfill thy law's demands. Could my zeal no respite know, could my tears forever flow, all for sin could not atone, thou must save, and thou alone." And then this next verse as well, "Nothing in my hand I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. Naked come to thee for dress, helpless look to thee for grace." And then this is the one, "Foul, I to the fountain fly. Wash me, Savior, or I die." Powerful words. Another just phrase in one of the other hymns, you'll know it as soon as I say it. I can't think, it's slipping me right now. "It is well with my soul." Where he says, "My sin, not in part, but the whole, has been nailed to the cross." And you begin to focus upon that. And there's something about the hymns that help us to do that. They take the Scriptures, they take biblical truth, and it's something about the singing of that truth that not only ministers to the mind, but it ministers to the soul, to the heart. And so I encourage you to go through the hymns, sing the hymns. I know a lot of, especially young people, the hymns are so old-fashioned. You know, you just want the everyday choruses. I love choruses as much as anybody. And sometimes I do sing some of the choruses, especially by the ones by Sovereign Grace Ministries, because they're so biblical and drenched in biblical truth. But just go to the hymns. Find yourself alone somewhere. It doesn't matter how you sound, but begin to sing. Sing the hymns. Other things we can do is memorize the Scripture. As I mentioned, singing the hymns. You know, even as we, in preparations to pray, in going through the Scriptures, singing the hymns in preparation for the time to pray. To come before the Lord and to confess and to ask Him for His grace and to fellowship with Him in prayer. Other things that we can do, you know, it's one of the things is it's amazing in the encouragement that we ourselves can take when we share the gospel with other people. When we hear coming out of our lips the good news of the gospel, when you share that with someone, many times you come away with great joy. Great joy in having told someone the best news in all the world. So those are just a few of the things that we can do to cultivate a heart and a spirit that is fervent, is boiling. Now ultimately, again, as we look at this, it is the Holy Spirit who empowers us. It is the Holy Spirit who comes and fills us with His presence and fills us with the Word of God so that we might do the things that we should be doing. But all of these things, again, characterize the way we are to serve the Lord. The way that we are to demonstrate in our everyday living our spiritual service of worship in Romans chapter 12. Again, as we were, chapter 12, verse 1, as we looked at that verse a while ago, we saw that worship is more than just gathering on a Sunday morning and singing some songs and participating in the Lord's Supper and hearing the Word preached and participating the way we do. Worship should characterize how we live our lives, our spiritual service of worship. It's a lifestyle. One of the things that focusing upon the gospel does, as we think of this, serving the Lord in the way that He requires, the way that's acceptable to Him, is serving the Lord with fervency, is to, again, focus upon the gospel and see that that by God's grace, and by God's grace alone, you and I who were once alienated from Him, left out of the promises, have been given access into His presence, who now know that the forgiveness of our sins, that even though we don't deserve it, our sins have been forgiven through Jesus Christ and through Him alone. And He's opened the door to us as His sons and daughters, and the privileges and the benefits that come through the gospel, and ultimately, as we've been going through on Sunday, so Wednesday nights, is ultimately to God Himself. To enjoy Him forever. To have fellowship with Him. And that is what should characterize that gratitude, that realization that says, oh man, is this great or what? I have been, by God's grace, forgiven. And we can all say, along with the Apostle Paul, that we should be able to say at least that I am, among all sinners, I am chief. And to think that God would give His Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, to pay the penalty for my vile and horrific sins, that I might know Him, that I might fellowship with Him. It's again the best news in all the world. And that should affect on how we serve Him, shouldn't it? But again, even in that, we need His grace. And Paul himself could say, he worked harder than them all. All the other apostles, he says, I worked harder than them all. And yet not I, but the grace of God working in me. And he said, it is by grace, the grace of God, I am what I am. And as we work hard, and this is kind of the mystery, not only of the gospel, but the Christian life is on the one hand, we work hard. We're to work hard. And yet as we look over our shoulder and we say, by the grace of God, by the grace of God. And even while we're working, even while we're doing it, we realize undergirding it, sustaining me, empowering me is the grace of God. And when we accomplish it, we look over and we say, it's the grace of God. But it doesn't mean we just sit back on the potatoes, on the couch as potatoes, and just say, I just don't feel it. I just don't feel really moved to do anything right now. There is that effort that we put into it. And say, I got to do something. I've got to do it. And then when you get off that couch and do what it is you need to do, you look over your shoulder and say, thank You for Your grace, Lord, that moved me to get off that couch. That caused me to go forward and do the things that You wanted me to do, that I should be doing, that I know I should be doing, but I've been too lazy to do. That's what we know. It's just the grace of God. But we work. We work. We give thanks for His grace. This characterizes not lagging behind in zeal, but with a fervent spirit serving the Lord. We could go to other passages of Scripture, but we're running out of time. And the book of Revelation starts with Revelation chapter 2 as he goes to the church of Ephesus. And we'll just look at something just real quick. We won't read all the verses, but you know, even in the midst of serving sometimes, we need a sense of where we're just doing it. We're just kind of plugging it out. And in the message to the church of Ephesus, the Lord acknowledges that those in Ephesus have deeds. He says, I know your deeds and your toil and perseverance, that you cannot tolerate evil men, and that you put to test those who call themselves apostles, and they are not, and you have found them to be false, and you have perseverance and have endured for my name's sake, and you have not grown weary. And we look at that and we say, yes, working hard, they're hard workings, doctrinally sound, they're doctrinally sound. And yet he says to them, but I have this against you, that you have left your first love. You have left your first love. And it's easy in relationships to allow that, to take for granted husband or wife or other people and to just trod through. And you're doing everything you need to do, but yet there's something missing. And he gives us a remedy of this in here in the following verse, and we see it in verse 5. And I'm going to summarize this with three R's. The first two are there, and the third one in my translation isn't there, but I think in the New International Version it might be. It says, therefore remember from where you have fallen. Remember. There's a power to remembering from where we have fallen. Remembering the forgiveness of sins that comes through the sacrifice of our Lord Jesus Christ. Remembering our first love. Remembering what it was like when we knew. Maybe for you, maybe you can't remember an exact time when you came to know the Lord, but maybe you can remember another time when you were passionately on fire for the Lord. For me, it was the first time in experiencing the gospel and knowing that my sins were forgiven. Remember, from where you have fallen, repent. Repent. Here, again, sounds like we need to put a little effort into it. We need to turn around. Headed one way, you turn around and go the other way. But the thing we realize is that repentance comes by grace. Again, repent. Turn around. Do the things you know you need to do. That's the next one, after we repent. And actually, I think the New International Version says, return. And do the deeds you did at first. Again, those are the things that we mentioned. Reading the Scriptures, meditating on Scripture, memorizing the Scripture, praying, sharing the Gospel. All of these things go a long way in reigniting our spiritual fervor as we serve the Lord. But again, I don't want you to hear me saying there's just something more that we just need to do. Just buck it up and get at it. And that might be true. But we realize that it is through God's grace that we can do it. It's by God's grace as we come to Him. And sometimes, you know, it is just coming to Him and say, you know, God, I don't even have a sense. I don't even have a sense that I even have a desire to read the Word, to pray, to be evangelizing. And just coming to Him and being honest. And then asking, say, Lord, change my heart. Change my heart. And help me. That I might not lag behind in diligence. That I might fervently in spirit serve You in the way that You deserve to be served. Because of who You are. And because of the most amazing thing that You have done through our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, thank You for Your grace and goodness. Lord, I pray that You will help us to be a passionate people, diligent, zealous, boiling over for good deeds and for serving You. And Lord, I pray that You would do that work in our hearts. And this morning, this wherever each individual is, Lord, maybe it is for, first of all, that person to have their eyes opened, that they might see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, and that they might believe and be saved. And so, Lord, I pray that You might be pleased through the preaching of the gospel to do that. Lord, maybe some of us have been just trotting along and we need kind of a wake-up call. But Lord, we realize that maybe having been awakened, we need Your grace. Lord, we pray that You would fan into flame the spark of the Holy Spirit, the spark that is within our hearts if we've trusted in Christ as our Savior. Fan it into flame, Lord. And then, Lord, I pray that You would keep us from doing the kind of things that pour cold water upon the embers of Your work of grace in our life. But Lord, You would, by Your grace, allow us to do the kind of things that are like pouring oil upon the sparks, that would cause it to come into flame. And so, Lord, help us that we might not only just serve You, but that we might serve You in a way that truly does honor You and show others that You are glorious and worthy for Your name's sake, for the glory and the honor of Your name. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.